Good morning, everybody. Who's here for the first time? Welcome. Welcome. Hey. Let me start by asking you a question. How many of you that is here today has in some way been treated unjustly? How many of you had somebody lie about you, hurt you, or even emotionally, physically, or whatever the case might be, abuse you? Anybody in this place? All right, good. Not good that that happened. It's just, what is our natural instinct when we go through something like that? How do you feel when that happens? Okay, he feels disappointed. Somebody there felt angry. And what do we want to do? Of course, if you tell me that you don't feel like retaliating, some of you want to bite the person's head off, some of you want to cut off choice pieces of their anatomy. There's all sorts of things that pop into your mind, but in the end, you want to get your own back. Our natural instinct in this case is to want vengeance. We want to see the other person pay for what they have done. They have to feel in some way what they put us through. But if we were to repay that person in kind, in other words, if we were to say to the flesh, do your worst, let whatever happen, happens. What is going to happen? You know what the Bible says? We are going to bring judgment upon ourselves. Now, for in case you think that I'm talking nonsense, I'm going to give you three scriptures that's going to show you how God feels about it. Now, we have to understand there is a difference between how God feels about things and how mankind feels about things. In a worldly sense, it is fine when somebody knocks your block off, you block it, you knock it back. If somebody stabs you in the back, you stab them in the back. Somebody spreads lies about you, you spread lies about them. We're talking now about how God looks at things and how God deals with things. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anybody evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, I want you to listen. God is talking to you today, and he says, do not. When somebody has brought evil into your life, it doesn't matter what it is, whether they spoke badly about you, whether they slandered your life, whether they stole from you, whether they hurt your family in some way, God says, do not let it be on you to repay. In fact, he goes on and he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15 says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other. Again, when somebody wrongs me, I am immediately in a place where now I want to wrong you because I want you to feel what I went through. I want you to pay for what you have done for me. But now when we measure what the Word of God says, we realize that our human way of dealing with things, our emotional way of dealing with things in God's eyes is not right. Because he says, yeah, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. And I fully believe there's a couple of you sitting here. People have been doing things to you and you are plotting and scheming. How am I going to get even with these people? What can I do to them to make them feel what they do to me? Well, then I have to say to you today, God is talking to you and God is warning you. If you continue down this path, you are the one that will suffer, not them. And we need to understand that in the kingdom of God, things are different. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, do not repay evil with evil. Do not repay insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Wow. This is where it becomes truly difficult. And this is where, let's face it, all of us, myself included, we need a lot of grace from God. Because he says here, do not repay evil with evil. In other words, it doesn't matter how bad the thing is that somebody did to you. You do not follow what your heart wants to do. Because normally the heart wants to kill and destroy and hurt and, you know, just cause problems. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. Because to this you were called. You know, this is where it becomes really difficult. Because God says, instead of following your flesh, which wants to perform and shout and scream and hurt and kick and punch, instead, turn around and say, I bless you. And what makes it even more difficult is God obviously expects us to mean it when we say, I bless you. You see, he says, that is why you were called. Look at your neighbor and say, God called us to be different. And this, from a worldly point of view, is very, very, very different. It's not always easy, but God says, he will help us with this. God doesn't expect us to just do it. God will do his part and God will help you. If God gets upset when we repay evil for evil, it is even worse when we repay evil for good. Now, let me just explain. Yeah, God is warning us. When somebody does something bad to you, don't you go and do something bad to them back. When somebody is evil to you, don't you go and do something evil to them back. When somebody has hurt you, don't hurt them back. We understand the concept, right? It gets a little bit worse when somebody does good to you and you turn around and you go and do evil to them. Can you understand that we're not comparing apples with apples now? If God gets upset when we repay evil for evil, it is even worse for us when we repay evil for good. If there are bad consequences, if the Word of God warns us that there will be bad consequences for repaying evil for evil, then we must understand that there are going to be even bigger consequences when we put ourselves in a place where we repay evil for good. Which simply means that somebody does good to you, but instead of being good to them in return, you repay their kindness, you repay their goodness, you repay their help with something evil. So if there are bad consequences for repaying evil for evil, it is far worse for those people who have come to a place where they have repaid evil for good. There are two very important things for you and I to consider here today. The first thing that we should consider is that all those who have treated us well in this life, listen carefully. Do you have people in your life that when you think about it, you can say, wow, that one and that one and that one, they have really blessed me. They have been there for me through thick and thin. They have upheld me. They have comforted me. They have taken care of me. They have blessed me. They have supported me. They have protected me. They have been, in a nutshell, good to me. I don't believe there's anybody sitting here today that can raise their hand and say to me, you know what, Rion, I grew up in a different planet because nobody ever showed me kindness. Nobody was ever good to me. Nobody ever looked after me in any way. Everybody has had somebody in their life that has shown them kindness. Now, what we should consider is that all of those who have treated us well in this life, have we really honored them? Have we in our own way rewarded them for their kindness? In other words, somebody sowed good into your life. Have you reciprocated? Did you show kindness back? Have you blessed them? Have you thanked them? Have you been there for them? The second thing that we should consider is those who have shown you evil. And I'm sure all of you can raise your hands and say, oh, you know what? I have at least 10 people in my life that have really, really been bad to me and they've hurt me and, you know, they've brought a lot of destruction into my life and I sympathize with you. But then I want to ask you this question. What are you plotting for their life? What is the plans that you are making to get even with them? Because God's word warns you that if you go down that path, it is going to be destructive for you, not so much for them. Do not contemplate personal vengeance, but let God deal with them as He promises in His word that He will. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 13 says, and I want you to listen, you've heard me say this on a number of occasions. It's a very important proverb. Evil will never leave the house of the one who pays back evil for good. Did you hear that? Evil will never leave the house of a person that pays back evil for good. Now, you know what? You could turn around and say, oh, that's just your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God teaches us. And it's one of the main reasons why the world is full of people that go nowhere. Why the world is full of people that are down in the pit, and no matter what they do, they can't get out of the pit. Because you see, when you begin to repay back evil for good, in other words, somebody does good and you repay them evil, you call a very, very destructive curse to come upon your life. Oh, but Rian, I'm a Christian, I can't be cursed. Rubbish, this is God's word. And God's word is not warning the unbeliever. God's word speaks to you and speaks to me. And God warns us, the way we pay people back is going to determine whether we are blessed or whether we are cursed. Whether we go forward or whether we go backward. Whether we are top or whether we are at the bottom. And you don't want to be at the bottom, because the devil will walk over you every single day of your life. Proverbs 17 verse 13. Evil will never. Look at your neighbor and say, never is a very long time. Evil will never leave the house of one who pays back evil for good. This proverb plainly states that the way we respond to another's kindness can end up cursing our life forever. You know, sometimes we do things without thinking. Sometimes, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that's very important for all of us to understand. It says, count the cost before you start on that journey. Count the cost. Sometimes you are in a situation where, you know what, at that moment it's going to make you feel good to do something to that person, or to say something about that person, or to take something from that person. And for a short while, it might make you feel good, or it might promote your life in some way. Let's say you steal some money from somebody that's shown you kindness. Yes, that money is going to get you something in the short term. But what is it going to do for you in the long term? Can somebody tell me? This is what it's going to do. Evil will never depart from the house of one who pays back evil for good. You know, sometimes we're in a group and people are being ugly to somebody, and because we want to fit in with a group, instead of us standing up for the person that's always been there for us, always helped us, always supported us, we join in and we make fun of them as well. What are we doing? We are repaying evil for good. What's going to happen? Yes, at that moment you fit in with the crowd. At that moment people are like, oh wow, you're one of us. But what you don't realize is at that moment you've also opened the door for something spiritual to come into your life. And you know what? Physical problems sometimes take a long time to get over. There are certain spiritual conditions that you can never get over. It's like a spiritual cancer that comes into your life. And it begins to eat away at whatever is good, whatever is healthy, whatever is satisfying in your life. You come to a place where you will have nothing good to show for your life. And sometimes it's because of things we say. Sometimes it's because of things that we do. Noah was a godly man. In fact, the Bible tells us that Noah was the only truly righteous man on the planet at the time when God opened the floodgates of heaven and let the rains come down. And because of his righteousness, God decided to save him, but not just him, his wife, his sons, his daughter-in-laws, his entire family got saved because of him and who he was and the way God felt about him. Noah was a godly man. And he saved his family from the flood by his personal righteousness. After the flood, His son Ham sinned against Noah. In a sense, Ham was repaying evil for good. The only reason Ham was still alive is because God honored Noah's righteousness. Noah allowed him to come onto the ship that God let him build. But he dishonored his father. In a sense, he brought a curse upon his father. Now the scripture tells us, he who repays evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. As a result of what Noah experienced through Ham, the Bible shows us in the book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 to 27, and I'm not going to read it now, but you can go and check it for yourself if you want. Because of what he did, him and his entire family and all the subsequent generations of his family came under a curse of destruction. How's that? The one thing that he did to his father destroyed his life that moment. And not just him, but his entire extended family suffered because of it. Then we see in the Bible the story of David and Goliath. And so often we focus on the fact that David conquered Goliath and, you know, the small is empowered to conquer the big when God is with you and all of that. But there's something else that came out of the story. You see, David killed Goliath on behalf of Saul. Now, why did David have to conquer Goliath? Because Saul was too scared to do it. Saul didn't have the, you know what, to go onto that field and challenge Goliath. In fact, it wasn't just Saul. Nobody in Israel had the guts to walk up there and confront him. And then David came in there, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, he walked up to Goliath, refusing to have all Saul's, armor and sword and this and that. In fact, when David tried to pick up the armor and the sword, it was too heavy for him because he was still a boy. He walked out there, he confronted Goliath, he conquered him. He put him in his place. But whose job was that really? Well, who was king? Listen, when the popo hits the fan, who's in trouble? The boss. Who was the boss? Saul was the boss. So David was bailing Saul out. Listen to me. David was bailing Saul out. The Israelites expected Saul to do something about the Philistine problem. Saul for weeks had not done nothing about the Philistine problem. David comes there, God uses him. He's fearless, he's determined, and he trusts God. He walks by faith, and he conquers this man. You would think that Saul would be happy, because now all the Israelites are happy. Was Saul happy? Saul is upset. David served Saul in every way, in everything that he did. And David did everything for Saul. Saul, on the other hand, was a jealous man. He was jealous of this godly man that had slain the giant. And we know from the Bible that he even tried to kill him a number of times. Now, let me get back to the proverb that we're talking about. Evil will never leave the house of the one who pays back evil for good. What was Saul busy doing? Saul was opening the door for something dark and very evil to come into his life. Saul could not blame David. Saul could not blame the Israelites. Saul could not blame Goliath for what was about to come into his life. The only one to blame for what was coming into his life was Saul, because he was repaying evil for good. David blessed him, yet he paid back evil for that blessing. God got angry at Saul. I want you to listen. God got angry with Saul because God hates that kind of an attitude. God is trying to teach us his ways. God says, when she blesses you, bless her back. When she's good to you, be good to her back. When she shows you kindness, show her kindness back. When we deviate from God's purpose, when we deviate from God's plan, when we do the opposite, we incur the wrath of God. This angered God, and so God destroyed Saul's family and gave the ruling power to the tribe of Judah. God took away the kingship. God brought death and destruction into Saul and into his family because of the way he treated David. Do not pay back evil for good, because evil will never depart from your house. Look at your neighbor and say, your house is bigger than you. It includes your children and your children's children. And this is where we all have to sit up and take notice, because the way I treat people around me can curse my family, can curse my descendants, can be the reason why my children cannot go forward and cannot be blessed of God. Saul's jealousy towards David caused him to repay good with evil, and ultimately it caused the destruction that came in his entire family. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 4 to 38, we find a very interesting story. David had been out there in the wilderness with his men. And while they were out there, they encountered a bunch of shepherds that had lots and lots and lots of sheep. And these sheep and these shepherds were left over to the elements and to the Philistines and the Amalekites and the Hittites, whateverites were all around there. And David stood up and defended them. How many of you know that that is doing good? Okay, so David did good. He asked nothing in return. He did good. But then we see in the book of 1 Samuel 25, verse 4 to 38, David asks Nabal. Now, Nabal is the man to whom the sheep belonged, is the man to whom the shepherds belonged. They were his workers. David then comes to a place where he sends word to Nabal and he says, listen, yeah, I have been looking after your people. I have been taking care of your flocks. Now, me and my men, we are tired, we are hungry, and we are thirsty. Please provide something for us to eat. Is that an unreasonable request? Seeing as for months he's been taking care of these flocks. Now, David asks Nabal for some food and drink after watching over his sheep and shepherds in a hostile country. And Nabal, when he hears David's messenger, says, who's David? And why should I give a hoot about him? He's nothing to me. In fact, I won't give him a drop of water. Nabal rejects David's request and actually in the process insults David. What is Nabal doing? The Bible says, he who repays evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. Nabal is calling a curse upon his life. Does he know it at the time? Maybe not. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. And he's calling something very bad. 1 Samuel 25, verse 21. David had just said, it has been useless, all of my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. David uses the exact same words. David says, look at what happened here. I was so good to this man. I did everything for him. I looked after his people. I looked after his flocks. I kept everybody safe. And now look at what he's doing to me. He's paying me back evil for the good. And David right there decided, this man shall not live. David got angry and he said to his men, grab your swords, grab your weapons, for today this man will pay for what he's done to me. Now in the meantime, Nabal's, call it servants, who had heard everything that had happened and realized what was about to take place, went to Nabal's wife Abigail. And they said to Abigail, oh, we got big problems because your husband has cursed David. This is a man of God. And this man is surely going to come here and we are all going to die. And she said, okay, everybody, quickly get me some food, get me some drink, bring me some wine, get me as much as you can, load it on the donkeys. I'm going to see if I can make a plan. Don't say anything to my husband. Apparently Nabal was not a very nice guy, and if he knew about it, he was going to stop his wife from going. So she went out, and as she went out, David and his men came to make war. And she went up to David, she humbled herself. She bowed down before him, she greeted him, and she said, I know what my husband did to you, please. Please, I'm begging of you. Have mercy on us all. Do not do what your heart has decided to do. But please, look at what I brought for you. I didn't just bring you bread. I brought you cakes. I brought you meat. I brought you whatever you need. Some nice wine, some nice water. And David said, okay, all right. I think Abigail was a bit pretty as well. That probably helped a bit, you know. But the fact is, David was like, okay, I'm calming down. David accepted the apology and agreed not to destroy Nabal's house as he had planned. Now, I want to show you something. David might have decided to overlook this, but God never overlooks. Look at what happened next. 1 Samuel 25, verse 38. About 10 days later, this is 10 days after Abigail met with David. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing on his own head." And then David sent word to Abigail asking her to become his wife. That's why I say she was obviously quite pretty.
He was
a clever oak. But look at what David says. He says, "Praise be to God." In a sense, he's saying, God has avenged me because this man did pay me back evil for good. You see, it was his wife that tried to make peace. It wasn't Nabal. In his heart, Nabal was an evil man who liked to repay evil for good. And I want to speak to all of you and I want to say to you, be very, very careful and do not play with the mercy of God. Do not play with the grace of God. Because God does not slumber and God does not sleep. And there's going to come a day when you keep overstepping that boundary and God is going to say, enough is enough. And big destruction is going to come upon your life. Nabal repaid evil for good. And you know, it cost him his life. It cost him his wife and everything that he had. Here's my question. When Nabal was destroyed, when God killed him, and David took his wife, what happened to everything that belonged to him? It came to David. A surefire way to lose everything is to treat people who are kind to you in a really bad and evil way. The same problem will come into your life. Then we have Jesus, who befriended a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. And he made him one of the 12 disciples. How many of you know that it was a blessing to be called by Jesus to be a disciple? How many of you know that Jesus showed this man great kindness to allow him to walk with him every day, to sit under his teaching, to experience the power of God and the move of the Holy Spirit through him? Jesus blessed Judas, but we all know what Judas eventually ended up doing. What did Judas eventually end up doing? Judas cursed Jesus. What did he do? He sold out Jesus for 30 coins of silver. 30 coins of silver. Judas chose to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. His actions would come back to haunt him. Acts chapter 1 verse 18 says, "With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines fell out." What was happening to this man? What was happening to Judas? Well, what was happening to Judas was the fulfillment of the scripture that we are looking at today. He who repays evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. His body gave the manifestation of the evil that he opened himself up to when he decided to repay Jesus evil for good. And then we look at another account. When Jesus Christ came into this world, we know that he came to give his life for all of mankind. But at that stage, primarily, he came for his people. Who were his people? His people were the Jews. His people were the Israelites. Jesus came to be Israel's Messiah. He preached the truth to them. He healed their sick. He cleansed their lepers. He raised their dead. He cast out the demons that cursed their lives. For 3 years, he ministered to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. For 3 years, he blessed them with the presence of God amongst them. And in the end, how did they repay him? They shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were repaying evil for good. What happened next? In 70 AD, the Romans invaded. And they brought great destruction. As a result, God brought the Roman armies in 70 AD and demolished the nation of Israel. Some of us may find it a bit harsh, but I want to say something to you. You should consider the crime that we're talking about here. To repay evil for good is selfish, it's despicable, it's ungrateful, and in a nutshell, it is the epitome of pure evil. How can anybody that has good in them, when somebody is good, kind, and nice, turn around and repay it with evil? Well, it happens all the time. But God wants us to realize that if that is your attitude, if that is what you harbor in your heart, prepare yourself for what is about to come in your life. There was a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was called by God to preach the truth. He was called by God to speak the truth, to prophesy the word of God. Now, God is not always happy with everything that happens, and sometimes when God's not happy, God speaks about it. And so Jeremiah was called by God to speak to the nation of Israel. And many times, to some extent, they got a bit of a hiding through the mouth of Jeremiah. Now listen to this. Jeremiah 18, verse 18 to 23. Listen carefully. They said, "Come, let us make plans against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by this priest will not cease." In other words, we don't like what he's preaching. Do you hear that? We don't like what he's preaching because he keeps telling us we're wrong. He keeps telling us don't do this, don't do that. God's not happy with this. God's not happy with that. And the people began to plot against him. But what was he doing? What was he doing, the priest, Jeremiah? He was helping them. Listen to me. If you see somebody is about to walk off a cliff and you do nothing, then you do evil. But if you do something to help them, you are doing good. Jeremiah was doing good. He was preaching God's word to them. He was trying to help them. Now, they said, "Come, let us make plans against Jeremiah, for the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets." In other words, they didn't like the teaching, they didn't like the prophecies, they didn't like the counsel. They didn't like to be told what they can and cannot do, which is typical of most people. The moment you tell them don't do this or don't do that, you've ruined the friendship. They suddenly don't like you. But sometimes people have to hear the truth whether they like it or not. Okay, now listen to this. The people are speaking. They say, "So come, let's attack him with our tongues." Ooh, ay, ay, ay. Let's attack him with our tongues. In other words, we're going to spread rumors about him. We're going to lie about him. We're going to discredit him. We're going to break him down. Let us attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything that he says. From now on, we won't listen to him anymore. We're going to discredit him as a fool. We're going to tell everybody that he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. "Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil?" We come back to the same theme. Should good, in other words, I'm doing good to these people. I'm called by you. I walk in integrity. What I do to bless you first and to bless the people second. Should I Where am I now? Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke on their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. Many times when God wanted to destroy the nation, wanted to bring punishment to the people, Jeremiah would go before God and say, oh, Father, please have mercy with them. Please don't visit the iniquities upon them. Have mercy. So now, give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death. Their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me, and they have hidden snares for my feet. Now you might think to yourself, oh, this is just Jeremiah talking, but Jeremiah was an anointed man of God that spoke the word of God. The Spirit of God is speaking through him. The Spirit of God is prophesying the heart of God for the people that were repaying Jeremiah evil for good. I want to warn you here today. Be very careful how you conduct yourself, and be very careful how you are in a relationship with others, because if you repay evil for good, the same Spirit is going to come against you. The same Spirit that through Jeremiah came against the Israelites for repaying evil for good is alive and well and still busy today. It is the Spirit of God. God hates injustice. And when God sees the injustice of people repaying evil for good, destruction comes. I can promise you. And there's a lot of people that sit and they look at their life and they're like, but why don't I have anything? Why am I not going anywhere? Why don't good doors open for me? Why have I only got problems? And you should listen to what comes out of your mouth and see how you treat people and think back in your life. How many times when people were good to you, that you curse them by being evil to them? And what are the chances that today you are in a place that you created for yourself because you opened that door? For they have dug a pit to capture me, and they have hidden snares for my feet. But you, O Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown. Now, deal with them in the time of your anger. That puts a lot of food for thought in all of us. You know, me, I'm 47 years old. Some of you are younger than me, some of you are older than me, but I want to say something to you. We've all walked a long road to get to where we are today. And some of us have walked over people to get to where we are today. And I'm happy for you that you're sitting in church, and I'm happy for you that you serve God. But my question is, have you dealt with the things that you did? Because it says evil will never depart from your house. There's a lot of people sitting in church suffering because of this scripture. Because you got to deal with what you did. It doesn't just go away. It creates a lot of problems. So let me ask you this question. Have you in any way ever rewarded evil for good? Let me ask you another question. Let's take something simple like your parents. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. So do you reward your parents for all the love and the time and the effort, for all the expense that they had to get you to where you are today? Or do you forget about them? When was the last time you blessed them? When was the last time you thanked them? Let's talk about a husband and a wife. If you have a good wife, do you bless her? Or do you curse her? How do you treat her? Do you value her? Or do you despise her? If you have a good husband that looks after you and protects you, do you look after him? Do you take care of him? Because you see, sometimes even in a marriage, we can repay evil for good. And the problem is, evil will enter that house. Do you bless your spouse for taking care of you, for loving you, for their affection, for their kindness? Do you honor your employer and serve them well for looking after you and giving you the privilege to work for them? Let me talk to people here today that work for a boss. I want to say something to you. It's so easy to find fault with your company. It's so easy to complain about everything. But whether you like it or not, they are putting food on your table. Whether you like it or not, they are giving you the opportunity to take care of your children. And if all you ever have to say is bad things, and if you belittle them, and if you break them down, then you are repaying evil for good. And then evil will never depart from your house. And then you can't understand why things don't want to happen for you, why good things are always far from you. Maybe it's time for you to go up to your boss and say, thank you for the job that you've blessed me with. And may God triply and 100-fold bless you. Because you see, the thing is, if he's more blessed, chances are you'll be more blessed. Amen. Ooh. We all have a pastor, don't we? Do we bless the pastor for the word that he brings? Or do we walk out of the church like, oh, you know what, he likes to talk about all this nonsense. Man, I don't need this kind of stuff. I want these uplifting, grace messages. Well, I have to preach you the word, whether you like it or not. You should bless me for it, not curse me for it. And whether I'm not just talking about in this church. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not just talking about in this church. We've got an audience all over the world. You know, sometimes we find nothing. Thank you, and God bless you. It's so easy to find fault in the ministry that we are in. That's not from God. And I want to tell you something. If you have a critical tongue, leave it at home. It's not welcome in church. In fact, I don't want to see it and I don't want to hear it. And no other pastor wants to see it or hear it. It's difficult enough to do the work of God. We need people surrounding us that will bless us, not curse us. And we need people around us that want to pray for these churches to go forward. You know, we've already got an enemy out there called the devil. I don't need the devil's little helper sitting in my pews working against me. Some food for thought. Let's speak to the teenagers. I want you to listen to me carefully. We've got quite a few of you here today. God especially hates a rebellious and disrespectful child. Because you see, the thing is, whether you agree with your parents or not, they are doing good to you. They brought you into the world. They sat up with you until the wee hours of the morning while you cried and you vomited over everything and you pooed everywhere and you peed everywhere, and they looked after you, they took care of you, they cleaned up after you. When you went to hospital, your mother sat there by your bed. And the last thing they need is for you to become a teenager and have an attitude with them. Because they're still your mother, they're still your father, and they deserve to be blessed.
I blame the parents there, not the children.
That is a sermon for another day. Exodus 21, verse 15. Anyone who attacks their father or their mother is to be put to death. Listen carefully. God's own word. And I read these things to you for you to understand how God feels about a disrespectful child. And yes, the parents would do well to listen to this. Don't let your child become disrespectful. Exodus 21 verse 15. Anyone who attacks their father or their mother is to be put to death. Now, how do we define attacking? Is it verbal? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? I don't care. God knows your heart. And when you become with your parents and you begin to attack them, look out. You invite the spirit of death to come into your life. Exodus 21 verse 17. Anyone who curses their father or their mother is to be put to death. You know, I have spoken to you about this before. Sometimes we don't watch what we say and the way we say things. And sometimes it's easy for certain words to come out of our mouth. You all know what the F-bomb is, right? Okay. How many times does a teenager walk out of a room and say, my father is a peep-peep idiot? My mother doesn't peep peep know what she's talking about. You've just cursed your father and your mother. What does the Bible say? You will be put to death. In other words, you have just invited the spirit of death into your life. Now what's going to happen now? Well, the Bible says life and death is a choice. God spoke to the Israelites in the desert. He said, today I call heaven and earth as witnesses that I have placed before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life so that you and your descendants may live. We don't realize that when we curse our father or our mother, we've made a decision already. You chose death. And sometimes we have to hear these things even though it's harsh. Because if you know the truth and you abide by the truth and you follow the truth, God will bless you. Proverbs 30 verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. I've said to you on a number of occasions, to me this speaks of when a father or a mother speaks to a child and they begin to roll their eyes and like, watch it. God has no time for that. Now, just a bit of symbolism here to get you to understand something. Look at what's going to happen. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. What are the ravens and the vultures representing? Demons and evil spirits. Birds of prey in the Bible are symbolic of demons and evil spirits. So what does a child do every time they roll their eyes? Oh, my mother doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, there goes my dad off on a tangent again. What are you doing? You're opening a door. What comes? The vulture and the raven. Who are they? It's demons. What will they do? Curse your life. It's clear that rewarding evil for good will curse your life in unimaginable ways. And it is often the reason why so many feel that the blessing of God is so far from their life. You can't be blessed if you yourself keep cursing yourself. This proverb can be taken one step further. Not only should we not pray or repay evil for good, but God expects us to repay good for evil. Do you understand that? In other words, when somebody is bad to me, God expects me to still be good to them. Now, this is where the challenge really starts. Romans 12 verse 17 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, don't walk up to the oak and knock his block off. Leave it up to God because God knows how to deal with it. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We are taught in the Word of God to love our enemies. We are taught to bless them that curse us, to do good to all of those that hate us, because in doing so, we prove that we are true children of God. God shows us the way. He gave us His Son to save all of mankind. Listen to Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we now be saved through His life? In other words, He says that while we were still enemies to God, He gave His Son to die for us. God demonstrates love for His enemies. So should we. God rewarded good for evil to bless all of mankind with His grace. If you truly want to be a child of God, if it is your desire to bless God, you need to begin to emulate God. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.
I want to share with everybody because it's not a lie. I'm not a liar. I hate lying, but something really happened to me with the last time that I came through and you found out about my strokes. My first stroke was about my grandchildren were 7, 8 years old. They're 21 now. What affected me was my left eye. My left eye once in a while would close completely and I would have to close both eyes and leave it closed for a while before I could open. My eye used to twist a lot and I couldn't read. And this week, it happened once that my eye trembled a bit, but I never closed it again. So I must say, the words that come out of your mouth, Rian, is from God. Your hands, it's from God. Because I've had operations, I've been to doctors, no one could help me. And I just want to bless you. I really, really want to bless you.
Amen.
But I need to ask you for the big favor.
I'm gonna let you talk again. I'm very blessed with what she says, but I want to say to you all very, very clearly, the healer is Jesus Christ. He heals through His grace and the hand of God. Amen. I understand. But the Bible says God will not share His glory. I don't want to put myself in that position. But I'm very happy that God helped you. And I know we prayed on Tuesday night for your strokes. And then on Tuesday night, you spent the whole night on the floor with things happening to you.
Yes.
But God was healing you, wasn't He? And look at what you've experienced.
Praise the Lord. Another thing, I spoke to Fatinha. I was there at the house the other day. When my mom died, I was very close to my mom. I've forgiven my parents because my mom, what she did was because of my dad. My dad, what he did was because of the alcohol that he used to drink. He used to be drunk all the time and he used to make my mother drunk. So things really happen from the drinking because when he was sober, he was the most wonderful man, okay? When my mom died, before she died, she says, Maria, this ring that I've got, the day I close my eyes, you take the ring and put it in your finger. And I did. Now, I was telling to Fatima, after that, what she explained to me, I realized that what my husband did to me, it was the same thing what my dad used to do to my mom. And I need to bless this ring that I've got. I don't want to throw it away because this ring has got a lot of value for me from my mom. I want you to bless the ring for me if you can. And
okay.
Could that be true?
Okay. We're going in a different direction now, but seeing as she brought it up, I have to talk about it. A ring is a familiar object. Demons can transfer through familiar objects. A ring is something very personal that a person wears for many, many years. It has great sentimental value to them, but it also becomes familiar to them. There is a reason why God, when the Israelites went into the promised land, said, do not take any silver or any gold for yourselves. Because the people that they conquered served demons, worshipped evil spirits, were involved in witchcraft and sorcery, spiritism, necromancy, you name it. If it was bad, they did it. And in all of these things, there's a lot of demonic activity. And God knows that the demonic activity can transfer from one person to another through an object like a ring. What she says is very true. She took her mother's ring after her mother passed away, and her life is now mirroring her mother's. The Bible calls that a curse. Now, if we have to ask where is the curse coming from, it could be a number of places, but wearing your mother's ring is one of the places. Yes, I will pray for you over the ring. I cannot promise you that God will remove what is there because I'm not God. My personal, if you want my honest opinion, you shouldn't be wearing that ring. I can bless it for you and then you must put it in the cupboard or something like that.
So that means I'm leaving my mom.
No. Where do you leave your mom? Your mom is in your heart and your mom is in your memories. That ring is just a symbol. But I want you to understand it's something that the enemy does have power over. Your mom, all her misery is locked up in that ring. All her pain and suffering is locked up in that ring. And when you wear it, it touches you.
Yeah, can I say
something? You can, yes.
Many years ago, about 17 years ago, my sister died, and I actually took all the jewelry and I brought it with me to South Africa. Let me tell you, I just had hell from the day that I took that jewelry into my house. So much so that I ended up in a mental institution that I actually lost my mind. My sister, when she died, she lost a mind. And I want to say to you one thing. Your life is more important than the bloody ring. Your mom, she's in heaven or wherever she is, and she always be in your heart. The ring is just a ring. If the ring brought you so much misery, let it go. It's not worth it. Yes, you know, just a ring. Your mom is in your heart. You don't need a ring to remember your mom. I want to say another thing. Is a program on CI, Crime Channel, DSTV. The title is Evil Things. If you guys, they have the channel, go and see. Talks about objects, rings, jewelry, shoes, clothes. Just go and see it. That's not a religious program, but what Rian preaches, yeah, you will see there. He opens your eyes.
Okay, come here. You know, things become a problem when we are sentimental. And I understand where this lady is coming from. But unfortunately, sentiment has often caused the family curse to go from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. And at some point in time, somebody has to say, it's time for it to stop. I cannot rewrite the Bible. It's already been written. If there are certain things that God says, don't get involved, we shouldn't get involved. If there are things that God says, let them go, we should let them go. I've been in this ministry now for going on 20 years. I have seen some crazy things happen when people wear rings that have been handed down from generation to generation. Never good, always bad.
You can always burn the ring and make a new ring.
Well, yes, you can always take the ring and have it melted into something else.
I promised this ring to my daughter.
You shouldn't give it to your daughter. You should tell your daughter, this is what I learned at church, and I'm sorry I promised it to you, and I don't want you to be cursed like I was. Listen, yeah, let's call a spade a spade. We come to church to be taught. And what we are taught, we should not be ashamed to teach others. If we learn that something is wrong and we've been doing it wrong for a long time, not only should we stop doing it, but we should tell our loved ones, that's going to get you into trouble. You can't make the decision for them whether they will honor it or not, but you got to stand by your faith. You know, in the Christian faith, there are many do's and there are many don'ts. You got to honor both if you want God to bless you. Amen. I will speak to you about this a bit more, a bit later, okay?
Okay.
All right. Please stretch out your hands towards the offering. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you today for blessing us. You say in your word, Lord, it is you that provides seed for the sower. Whatever was sown into this basket today comes directly from the hand of God. And thank you, Lord, that you are affording us the privilege to sow into your kingdom. May everybody that has sown, whether it be great, large, small, may they be blessed 1,000-fold. May the favor of God just be released upon them right now. And Lord, wherever the need in their life, meet it and exceed it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, we're going to take a half an hour break. There is coffee and tea and something to eat over there. Please go and enjoy it. I will see you, in about half an hour. We will start to pray for you then.